Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Wednesday, June 10th, 2026. Hope you all are doing well on this gloomy Wednesday morning, but not gloomy in the world of the Yankees. Another day gone by. We survived another day without Aaron Judge, which was the plan. One day at a time, and so far, 2 days into this Cleveland series, Yanks have secured a series victory. They'll go for the sweep this afternoon. We will be live for the series finale, which is a 110 first pitch. It'll be Carlos Rodon on the bump versus Parker Messick, the one Guardians pitcher that we have not faced, and he's been pretty damn good. He's 6-2 with a 2.40 ERA. We'll preview that game a little bit more later at the end of this show, but also come the watch party this afternoon. Anyways, we got a bunch to discuss today. We're going to touch on last night's win, but really use it as a jumping off point to get into a greater conversation and really for the first time, at least in season this year, have a more in-depth conversation about Jazz Chisholm Jr.'s upcoming free agency. Of course, he is set to become a free agent after the conclusion of the 2026 season. It's going to be a very weird year for free agents, obviously with the pending lockout, which doesn't seem like it'll be pending. And in Jazz's case, it's really going to play a role. We'll get into all that in just a little bit. But of course, we do got to celebrate last night a little bit, and that starts indeed with a big hit, big home run by Jazz.
3-2 on Jazz. And Jazz drives that in the air, deep down the right field line. That is gone! Jazz Chisholm Jr. once again with Aaron Judge's lumber gives the Yankees the lead. Here's the 1-2. He got him! Fernando Cruz, absolutely dominant, and the Yankees win it 3-2 in Cleveland.
So I got the first pitch and realized, like, that's going to be a tough pitch to hit, the slider on the outside corner. So I was literally just waiting on a ball to start right at me, and I got one and handled it.
At bat before that, you used a different bat. What made you switch bats again?
Because I overswung again.
Ha! So, on the topic of that, Jazz did say when he was getting chances of overrated in his prior at-bat in the fifth, which is, I don't know, pretty funny. But anyways, nonetheless, he said that led to him overswinging in his previous at-bat. And then I didn't even notice until later on in the game, or later on after when we get to the post-game and the post-game interview, we just heard that, yeah, he was using Aaron Judge's bat again, which I did not know he stopped using. Obviously, he was using Caballeros for a minute, which, whatever on that front. That was a big home run by Jazz last night. And with that, the Yankees now have 40 wins. First team in the American League to reach 40 wins. The Rays did beat Boston again yesterday. They absolutely stink. Talking about the Red Sox. And they're also going for a series sweep today as well. But anyways, nonetheless, we enter play today. Same deal that we've been in the last few days, which of course is tied atop the American League East. Where's my standings graphics? Here we are. Yeah, entering play today, Yankees, first team in the AL to 40 wins. Still in a tie with the Rays. They're 39-25. We're 40-26. Obviously, you know, winning percentage by .03. They're ahead of us. Nobody cares. But anyways, nonetheless, the big story from last night, well, let's go through a couple more things individually really quick because we're not going to spend too much time on last night's game because I want to get to the Jazz free agency stuff. And also, the afternoon game kind of gives this episode a short shelf life. But with that said, huge shout out to Fernando Cruz last night. 5-out save. Yankees were without David Bednar. So at least at the time, I mean, we're all well aware now. But for those who were wondering, like, why was the bullpen being managed the way it was? It's because Bednar was unavailable. So Cruz was indeed, going into last night, our ninth inning guy. And come the eighth, when the lineup turns over to what would end up being, you know, Travis Bezzana and Jose Ramirez with a couple runners on, Yanks had to pretty much just be like, yo, Cruz, we need 5 outs from you. And that's exactly what he did. First save of the season. He got a couple big outs in the eighth. The JRM ball kind of was tagged, but Grisham was able to run it down. And then in the ninth, despite a leadoff walk, Cruz was able to get the job done. Fantastic performance by him. And another, you know, stressful nail-biter win. 3-2 is your final. But, yo, you know, everybody always says Yankees can't beat good teams. Well, all of a sudden, they're set up for a series sweep this afternoon. We'll see if they can do that. And, you know, Carlos Rodon, hopefully, as he continues to turn in more and more good starts, and ideally another one comes today, we got to put a little bit of respect on Rodon's name. I guess I should wait until tomorrow's show to continue that conversation, but I feel pretty good about him on the bump today, and you should too, because last year he was one of the best pitchers in the American League. This year, especially the last few starts, he's really riding back into shape, which is, you know, what pitchers do. Coming off the IL, not everybody's Gerrit Cole, who is seemingly the last couple starts facing a little bit of adversity. He wasn't great yesterday, only lasted 4 innings. And he mentioned that by that point, he was kind of just gassed. Some very taxing innings Cole had to deal with. Not worried about him in the slightest. And I'll tell you, on the topic of that, we talk often about the role of Paul Blackburn and how he really hasn't been that bad. And this is also like nothing ever against Ryan Yarbrough, but we often will discuss how the Yanks are carrying two longmen. And it's a shame that Paul Blackburn, nothing against him, that he has to be used in all these high-leverage situations. Well, yesterday was much more of a traditional longman-esque role for Blackburn to perform in, and he did a good job. Cole only gives you four. Blackburn, essentially, you look at it as he completes that inning, gives you two scoreless. So between Cole and Blackburn, you got six innings of two-run ball. That is a role that would be perfect for Paul Blackburn. Paul Blackburn as the last man in your bullpen would be a great last man in your bullpen. Anyways, nonetheless, the bullpen entirely, relievers, even including Camilo Duvall, who got the win yesterday, if anybody cares about that, but a scoreless inning from him as well. The bullpen was good yesterday. We'll talk about Spencer Jones, obviously, another very in-depth conversation to have. Yankees have some fascinating decisions coming up. Of course, with the return of Jason Dominguez, Giancarlo Stanton next week, Volpe's involved in this as well. But Spencer Jones is playing really well. We're going to have a whole topic dedicated to him in just a little bit. But anyways, nonetheless, I think we'll kind of leave it there. Yanks going for the series sweep this afternoon. And another gritty, another nail-biter, but ultimately what matters is another victory for the Yankees. Series victory secured against the Cleveland Guardians. But with that said, we're going to use that Jazz homer as kind of a tipping off point to lead into this. For the first time really this year, or in season at least, kind of talk about the possibility, is there any chance? And that's really how you have to phrase it, because I'll tell you right now off the bat, like, my mindset going into this offseason is I don't think Jazz will be back. Now, I always have been a big fan of Jazz. I will be critical of him at times. And, you know, the highs with Jazz are extremely high, whether it be performance or even just, you know, he's a very likable dude when things are going well. I've had my issues with him in the past. Just, you know, little things. And this is few and far between, but, you know, like, the we always talk about it. But for those who are new around here, like, I was really bothered last year when not him being upset that he didn't start in the wild card series. I think it was game one against Crochet. That's all well and good. Be upset about it. He turns his back and does the whole entire post-game interview with his back turned to the media. Then Judge has to address it. You know, we all, for those that watch every single day, and this is not a common occurrence with Jazz, but when it happens, there will be some times where it can be a little bit frustrating. Same with some of his at-bats. With that said, I've always been a huge Jazz fan. And early on, the reason I bring this up is I was much on board with the idea of extending him. Well, obviously that hasn't happened. He's going to be a free agent after a year's end. And he will be the top position player on the market, with possibly the next best being Randy Arozarena. So undoubtedly the best second baseman available in free agency, and no doubt about it as well, just in general, position player on the market come this winter. Now, obviously, it's going to be a very interesting winter, and you have the lockout coming. So all these things play a role. Now, obviously, we do have to mention that his initial ask was 8 years, $35 million per year. That wasn't going to happen. Even at the time, it was ridiculous. And for a second baseman, the most we've ever seen a second baseman get is Marcus Semien, 7 years, $175 million. Jazz right now, with the season that he's having, isn't even headed anywhere towards that. Now, the contract is one thing. We could talk about what would a team give Jazz. And I'm sure there will be somebody out there that offers him some sort of a long-term deal. But listen, we know the first month was bad. May he perform much better. The last week or so prior to the last couple games, he was starting to, you know, not perform too great. Well, ultimately, if Jazz is Jazz for the final 4 months of the season, aka the guy that we saw last year, 30-30 type bat, great defender at second base, while still frustrating at times, we know he's otherworldly talented, all that stuff, which is very much true, but we don't got to get into the obvious here. What world would have to exist for the Yankees to bring back Jazz Chisholm Jr.? And I do want to say, kind of clear cut and just not waste any time here, I think there's one situation where it is possible. And many can probably guess what this is, and that is if Jazz takes a qualifying offer. The Yankees will indeed offer him that, which is expected to be $23.1 million this coming offseason. And right away, some may say, well, he's not going to take that. So that ends the conversation there. Totally fair. Totally fair. But I do not see a world where, you know, going into next year, whether it be just not wanting to give Jazz long-term, like, franchise money. He's a good player. He's not a superstar, though. He's not a superstar. He's a good player, and he is one of the better second basemen in baseball. If not the second best behind Ketel Marte, right now, in that conversation, in that upper echelon of that position, you're not giving him crazy long-term money. And that was the case going into this year, and we know the season that he's had hasn't really helped that case too much to begin with. Qualifying offer, is there any world where he would accept it? normal circumstances, I would say no. And right now, I would say no, he won't. But we got to understand, with the lockout looming, and looming's probably not even the right word to use anymore. Like, it's going to happen. And of course, by that, we don't mean guarantee we miss games. But if a deal is not reached between MLB and the Players Association by early December, I think it's December 2nd, that's when the lockout technically begins. So that's where everything shuts down. No deals are signed. No business will be made or able to be done with anybody until an agreement is reached. So basically, come December 2nd, or whatever the date is, I think it's the first week of December, if Jazz is not signed somewhere, he ain't signing until the lockout is over, whatever that may be. So essentially, you know, his free agency, as everybody else's does, starts the conclusion of the World Series. So November to December, he has 1 month to get a deal worth his while that he'd be satisfied with money-wise, satisfied with destination-wise, satisfied with the team. And is that possible? Yes. Let's just say, I don't know, some random freaking team out there. I don't know, maybe the, I'm trying to think of a random team. I don't know. Let's just say even the Dodgers needed a second baseman. I don't know, just throwing it out there. And that might be a situation where he absolutely would jump on that. But I don't know. They offer him a good amount of money, and he's comfortable going there, wherever team offers him that. And within that month, he's cool with it, signs there, all right, whatever. If there's not a deal out there, though, within that one-month time span, before the lockout begins, well, maybe there is a world where, knowing just in a couple weeks at that time, after things have offered him the qualifying offer, Jazz is like, I could take that 1 year, 23 mil, put it in the bank. You know, you lose games, you wouldn't get that. That's a different conversation. But reboost his value, re-enter the free agency pool the next season. Now, the biggest caveat here is, and this is why ultimately I think this won't happen, is because, again, he is the top position player this free agency this winter going into the market. He's the best second baseman that's going to be available. He's the best position player that's going to be available. But also, he has to find that deal within a month. Will that deal exist that he likes within that month? What will exist is the Yankees qualifying offer. 1 year, $23 million. And on the Yankees end of things, that's the most I think they'll even engage with Jazz. And it's not even so much to do with him, but infielders under control next year, you'll obviously have George Lombard Jr. into the fold by then. Whether it's still wouldn't rule out a call up at some point this season, but we know long term he's our shortstop. Otherwise, you got, not to be the first one I mentioned here, after Lombard is Volpe, but Volpe's still under control. Jose Caballero's still under control. Ryan McMahon's still under control. You figure he'll be at least in the same similar role next year that he is right now, which is a third baseman, at least against right-handed pitching for us. But yeah, Jose Caballero, Max Schumann, Anthony Volpe, George Lombard Jr., Ryan McMahon, all those infielders are still under control next year. So whatever the Yankees' offseason looks like, they can operate with the at least backup plan or the mindset of, worst case scenario, we have a second baseman. And to them, it may not even be worst case scenario, and maybe not me either. If Lombard's playing short, and again, there's more to do in the offseason. That's not the conversation we're having now, but I don't know. Say, just for argument's sake, Scoobal's a free agent. They went and signed Scoobal, right? Well, okay, fine. Like, I think it would be quite cool, maybe even regardless, if Lombard's a shortstop, and then you can just run out Jose Caballero at second base or re-sign Amed Rosario to play that position. Bottom line is, we know the Yankees aren't giving Jazz long-term money. That much is very, very clear by now. Like, I think it's indisputable that that's not even part of this conversation. That is, to me at least, a fact, an opinion fact, but I'm quite sure of it. The only world where Jazz returns is on a qualifying offer. Would he accept it? I would say probably not. But is it impossible? No. For many circumstances, given the down year, given we know Jazz wants to be a Yankee, and not saying there won't be big offers out there. There will be, but it has to take place within a span of a month before the lockout begins. And within that month, he doesn't get that deal that he likes from a team that he likes. Well, that qualifying offer 1 year to return to the Yankees and reboost his value will be sitting right there. So with that in mind, is it possible he returns next year? Yes, for that reason alone. And that specific emphasis on that reason alone, that is it. I am a firm belief that's the only avenue where he could return. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't be against it. I'd be totally down. If we get Jazz back just for 1 year next year, 100%. While he's frustrating at times, and you know, he'll make some errors here and there that are really frustrating, and a lot of this has to do with the fact that it doesn't have to happen. Now, errors, of course, do happen, but with Jazz, it's like he's so talented. He is one of the best defensive second basemen in baseball. And, you know, even with the down year he's having, he's at a 1.4 war. That's like one of the best second basemen production-wise when you include both offense and defense in baseball. Like, he's still one of the, even this down year, in the upper echelon of second basemen. Get him back on 1 year, That's no problem. And we're talking about the money. Money's more of a concern when we're looking at a long-term agreement. Same logic applies to Trent Grisham, which is looking better and better that the Yankees did that deal, by the way. But in the case of Jazz, on my end of things, on the Yankees' end of things, I would be quite certain they would totally be on board with that. They will offer him the qualifying offer. I'd be shocked if they didn't. Obviously, if he does sign elsewhere, that means they would get a compensatory pick, a draft pick. So no matter what, it's, you know, kind of a win-win. In Jazz's case, though, that might be how he looks at it, too. If there's not an offer from a team that he likes for the money that he likes, well, he likes being a Yankee, could return on 1 year. Bottom line is to put a bow on this conversation before we move on. That's the only way he returns next year, I believe, is qualifying offer. He accepts it and then runs it back, better production next year, and then reenters the market in entering 2028. Now, again, though, I don't think he'll do that because he's going to be the best position player by far on the market. But he has 1 month to get that deal, unless, you know, an agreement is reached by that point, but I don't think it will be. But yeah, so that's really where I'm at with Jazz. We haven't talked about it too much. I do think it's a foregone conclusion. He's gone in free agency for all the reasons that we listed. But a big reason being, you know, under control, the infielders that we have still, obviously Lombard, Schumann, Caballero, Volpe, McMahon. And I'm not trying to, you know, put Volpe into that mix. I'm just saying how the Yankees will operate. They can look at second base as, all right, you lose Jazz. Second base, they technically do have covered. They absolutely do. And you can get by. So I think Jazz is gone after this year. I think it's our last year of Jazz. But, you know, we don't got to do the whole swan song thing just yet. Jazz has some really good moments with the Yankees, last night being one of them. We'll talk about this more later on. But for now, I don't think he's back. If he were to be back, it would be, I think, undoubtedly only via the qualifying offer. But with that said, we'll see. Jazz is a good player. He's way better than he's been playing this year. And we've seen that since May. We've seen that since the Giancarlo Stanton pants, which, you know, I don't think has any impact, although it does make him look like a ball player, and maybe that makes him feel like a ball player. You know, in Little League, at least, that's why I always like to wear high socks. You know, I felt more athletic doing so, you know? So maybe Jazz is vibing wearing those. We know the different bat, whatever it may be. He is playing a lot better lately, and ultimately, if Jazz is Jazz, entering his free agency, he will be looked at as just a player that he was last year, and that is a player that, while certainly not going to get 8 to 10 years at $35 million per year like he initially was requesting, he was never going to get that. There might be, let's just say lockout aside, it's true market for Jazz. He is an over $100 million overall money guaranteed player. Maybe even somewhat close to like the Marcus Semien deal. Actually, no doubt about it. Like true talent Jazz, say you put up a replication of last year, 30-30 season, one of the better second basemen slash probably the second best second baseman in baseball. Lockout aside, just to, you know, look at it straight if we could, which you can't, but just for argument's sake, he is around a player that could command the Marcus Semien deal. Yankees aren't giving him that though. And obviously the year that he's had so far won't help, but if he goes back to who he was last year, these last 4 months of the season, which he's on his way to doing since the start of May, all things equal, which they're not going to be because the lockout, that market will exist. And he will be worthy of a deal that is far outside the Yankees' interest, what would be in the Yankees' interest, and possibly, maybe, the only chance of him returning, what would be in his interest is the qualifying offer. We'll see how that all transpires. But of course, we got time to let this all marinate. A lot of season left, a lot of baseball left. And with that, let's get more into the baseball and talk about last night, because Spencer Jones is making things interesting. This is going to be a fascinating week. And last night continued because, of course, he's looked a lot better in his second stint here since Judge went down than he did in the early going in his initial stint. And yesterday, at least so far to this point, came to a head with his first big league homer, 443 feet, dead center field.
Cranks that in the air to center field and deep. Quad back, looking up, there it is! Home run number one for Spencer Jones!
That was awesome. Felt great.
Take me through that at-bat, what your approach is, what you're thinking.
Yeah, I think for me it was started with the hitting coaches, good approach, kind of knew what I was looking for, and you know, just got a pitch. I felt like I saw it well and put a good swing on it.
Dog. Now for Jones, there is a clear lane going forward, which by the way, now since returning after Judge went down, he is 6-for-12 in four games. 6-for-12, hitting .500, that is, obviously. And again, the at-bats have looked really good. Long-term, there's a clear lane for Jones. If Grisham is not brought back, which I don't think is impossible for him to be brought back again, and he's been playing really well lately, but let's just say Grisham departs in free agency. Jones, we know, is more than capable of playing center field every single day. Jason Dominguez is not. And we're going to get into Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones because that's what's so fascinating about this entirely with playing time, roster-wise. We'll break all that down in just a moment because it's going to be ridiculously. This is bonkers. Anyways, center field next year, I mean, he might just be the heir to that throne, and it's a quite easy lane to imagine where, all right, long-term, that's his spot, center field. I'm kind of already looking at it right now with the way he's playing. And even just seeing that post-game interview, like we've always talked about it, he's obviously got the look. If he's going to be good, which is the main thing, that's the only thing, then it's right there for Jones to be a star here. And the Yankees know that. Obviously, again, performance trumps all, and that's all that we care about. But he is performing right now. So next year, that's his lane. Center fielder, every day. That might be what we're looking at, and I'm totally down for that, especially the way things are going as we speak right now. But with that said, what we got to talk about is what will the Yankees do once Jason Dominguez returns? Which, if you did not see Jason Dominguez last night, two-run shot against a lefty from the right side in rehab. He went 3-for-3, hit a bomb to left. That was while this was all going, and this whole thing has been, as it's evolved, the word I keep coming back to is fascinating because, like, Jones goes deep, and then on the watch party, we were already talking about how, dude, like, Jones is making this really interesting because we know Jason could return as soon as Friday against Toronto. We know Stan's going to return next homestand. It could be Tuesday against the White Sox. Jones goes deep, and then we find out Jason Dominguez goes deep at rehab, and it's like, yo, what are the Yankees going to do? Because you could talk about the playing time. Some may say, I want Jones in there every day over Jason Dominguez. Fair. I'll tell you this, like, going into Jones' second stint here, my thought was, and I'm sure this was the Yankees' thought too, Jones was going to be up after Judge goes out. Obviously, he's down. And then Jones is up until Jason returns. And then Jason returns, Jones goes back down. Well, now it's obviously become a conversation of who would you rather have? And not just about lineup. And defense plays a big role in this too. Yankees are talking about playing Jason in right, which in Yankee Stadium should be no problem, and it should be really a no-brainer. And if Judge didn't exist, which for the next couple months he doesn't, that would, in my opinion, no doubt about it, be where Jason lands. Like, he's not a good left fielder. The Yankees don't want to put him in center field, which was his natural position coming up. If Aaron Judge didn't exist, like, right field would be the clear lane for Jason Dominguez. So at least in these next couple months, that's kind of what I envisioned him, where he would go. Jones is the better defender. Jones is good at the plate. Now, I fully believe in Jason Dominguez and his ability offensively, at least against right-handed pitching. 118 WRC plus against right-handers last year. Jason Dominguez will hit. And even against lefties, last night went deep against one in AAA, he's looked a lot better against them, has gotten more reps against them, and has seemingly started to significantly improve. So offensively, at least, again, going into this week, it was, I want Jason. And Jason, I still want back up, but how would that work? And here's where we get into the roster conversation. Like, the lineup is one thing. Like, Jason or Jones, who do you want to play right field? And you feel better about Jones defensively, so that might be the tiebreaker if that's what we're looking at. But even just roster-wise, it's going to be a fascinating week coming up. Because again, if Jason were to be activated, and they could kind of postpone this a little bit, and, like, you know, it'd be a quick rehab assignment if Jason's back as soon as Friday. So maybe he's not back Friday in Toronto. But at some point he will be, well before Judge returns. So this is a decision to make regardless at one point. But they could extend the rehab a little bit. All right, fine. Stanton's coming back. So somebody's going down next week, no matter what, because there's no postponing Stanton. When he's ready, he's ready, he's back. Who goes down for Stanton? Well, again, Jones playing the way he is making this very interesting, because even just Stanton alone, I'll tell you, the clear option here, and I think this is where we're headed, they've already done it once, Volpe has to be sent down. Now, I don't want to preface every time I talk about Volpe. I think, you know, we have a pretty consistent base here. By the way, click like on the stream if you guys do not mind. Good to see you all again. Forgot to say it in the beginning. But, like, you guys know I'm not one of those Volpe haters that's just, like, death to Anthony Volpe. Like, no. Blame the Yankees for playing him every day. Like, it's their fault. You know? Like, I would like to think that if I was starting a shortstop every day for the Yankees, like, you guys wouldn't hate me too much. It's not my fault that I'm ass. You know? Like, the Yankees are playing me. You know? Like, it's not Volpe's fault. It's not Volpe's fault. I mean, say what you will about Seager, but in the end, it's like, yeah, Volpe played well in AAA. Volpe played well in high school. He was a first-round pick. Like, the dude was playing well for a while, and he was a top prospect, number 5 at the time in all baseball. Yankees used him as a reason to not sign Corey Seager. Clearly, they were misguided in doing so. But let's talk from 2023 on, when Seager's already on the Rangers, and you had Volpe from 2023 till now. There's been highs, there's been lows. Right now, it seems solidified And a big part of this goes back to the Caballero conversation. He's a better shortstop. So that solves that issue. And that's already set and done in our brains. We know that. Mine as well. Caballero should be the starting shortstop. Boone's saying they're going to go day-to-day, back-to-back. Anyways, this gets back to just, again, the roster conversation. Volpe's not a bench piece. He plays one position for now. I know he can do a little bit of second base. They've already done it once a few weeks ago, a month ago, whatever it was. He looks good. I was celebrating it, but he hasn't looked good lately. And the roster would just be better with Volpe sent down and come at least Stanton's return, which is just one part of this, because at one point Jason will too. But come Stanton's return, that in itself, you're not sending Schumann down. You would have to send Volpe down. Now, what's interesting here is, let's say Jason does come back up. Stanton and Jason are returning. Let's operate off that for a second. My initial thought was it'd be Volpe down, Jones down. Well, right now we're talking like maybe Jones will stay up, and maybe he should. So let's say Jones doesn't go down, and Volpe does. You need one more. Stanton and Jason back, Volpe down. Who's the other guy going down? Can't be Schumann. And in this case, we're talking it's not going to be Jones, which it might be, but I don't think it should be. At least in the time being. And I've been kind of in a weird spot with the Yankees in this. Like, and I'm going to talk about Ben Rice catching. If Ben Rice isn't a catcher, I want the Yankees to come out and say, I actually did not like what Brian Cashman mentioned the other day, which I guess I shouldn't have an issue with it because if this is how they feel, this is how they feel. But I almost see it like the Yankees don't view Rice as a catcher anymore. They want him to be their cornerstone first baseman. And for good reason. It's a new position. He's adapting to it. And I think adapting pretty well. You want him in there every single day, worried about one position. He's your cornerstone first baseman, homegrown for the next 10 years. That alone, I think, kind of can solve that argument. If Rice catching is in his back pocket, word. Have him catch every now and then. That way you can get Goldschmidt in the lineup too while Stanton's back. With that said, and Brian Cashman the other day did not rule this out, like Rice, I guess, at some point, maybe not right now, but at some point, like, they still will kind of keep that in their back pocket. Well, something you could do is what we saw at the end of last year, where Rice was not even just an emergency catcher, but in this case, I probably look at him more so as that rather than an option to like plan around him catching. You could send down Ali Sanchez, Stanton and Jason activated, keep up Jones, and send down Sanchez, as well as sending down Volpe, by the way. So it'd be Stanton, Jason up, Volpe, Ali Sanchez down, and we do have a few off days coming up. Rice would get a start here or there at catcher, and then that way you can have Goldschmidt at first, Stanton at DH. But even just looking at him as the backup with some off days, it would work out roster flexibility-wise, and it would allow you to activate Stanton, activate Jason, and then you'd send down Volpe and Ali Sanchez, at least until Austin Wells comes back. And that may be all you really need to do. And with the off days, and Austin Wells probably not that far away, which, again, I'm talking about what the Yankees will do here. He will be back. When he's ready to go, Austin Wells will be activated. So come that point, at least until then, could the Yankees get by with Ben Rice as their backup catcher / emergency catcher? Yes, absolutely. So roster-wise, that could figure it out. I'm not saying that's going to be the case. Otherwise, listen, Volpe, like, I'm operating now in this. He has to be sent down come Stanton's return at the very least. If Jason's brought back into the fold, which he should be, but then that gets into the other conversation of playing time. Does a roster with both Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez make much sense? Does a roster with all three of Spencer Jones, Jason Dominguez, and Giancarlo Stanton make sense? Not really. So this might just come back down to the conversation of Jason or Jones. And I think that's ultimately what it does. Let's see how Jones looks today. I mean, Jones may not even be playing today, to be honest. He should. But we are facing the lefty in Parker Messick. We'll see how that goes. But, like, we may just need a couple more days to sit on this, and that's how maybe the Yankees are feeling too. And I guess at the very least, you could postpone Jason returning, which we don't know for certain he was going to come back on Friday, but it seemed like that was very much in the cards. And he looked great at AAA yesterday, 3-for-3 at the rehab. Like, we know Jason hitting. Don't worry about Jason hitting, yo. Jason's going to hit. But if you were to acknowledge that Jason offensively is a guy you want to have in this lineup. But right now, Spencer Jones is as well, and you use that as kind of, all right, they're tied right now, and that's a conversation we're having. Like, what do we do? One could say an easy tiebreaker is a defense. Jones is a good defender. Jason isn't. And Jones can play all three outfield positions. Jason, you could argue, really can't play any. He's a DH. But you could stick him out there in right field. But it's weird, because like going into this week, like I've been looking forward to Jason coming back, and I still do. Because again, I think Jason's going to hit. But right now, Jones is hitting too. So, hey, I'm not the GM. I wish I was. But I will say, I wouldn't know what to do either. And I'm curious what the Yankees are doing. I'm fascinated by it. At the very least, I'll tell you this. I am certain. I would be shocked. I don't know what world would happen or what world could exist where Volpe is not sent down. I mean, that's the move for Stanton right there. And that's like Stanton, we know, is coming back. With Jason, you could play the game of maybe they don't bring him back up right away and postpone his rehab. At some point, Jason will be back. But in the meantime, we know Stanton will be back next week. And, you know, things that happen, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, there's no other circumstances involved here. But for Stanton, Volpe's got to go down because you're not sending it on Schumann. And I guess I could also do the backup catch thing with Rice, too, in that regard as well. But this conversation is more so around Jason or Jones. That's ultimately, I guess, what we're asking here, Jason or Jones, which kind of stinks. And going back to what I opened this topic with, long-term, you can get a clear lane next year for Jones. You're an everyday center fielder next year if Christian departs in free agency. And even if Jones were to go back down, which I don't want that to happen, there's a lane for, all right, that's your future. We talked about it with Jason Dominguez. Judge going down kind of creates this now, in a way, like make-or-break-is situation with Jason Dominguez, because it felt like this was his opportunity to get run. And if Jason Dominguez doesn't capitalize on this, what is his role now going into next year? Like, we'll still have Stanton. Granted, you know, by the time Stanton's deal is done, which next year's his last year, come 2028, Jason will still only be like 25, and there you go. He could be your DH then. I mean, maybe Jason gets traded this deadline, honestly. Maybe it gets us back to that conversation where, like, one of these two, I mean, that's something we've always talked about. Like, it always kind of felt like one of these two, Jason or Jones, pick one, the other's got to go because you don't want to waste one of them. And that's, I guess, kind of what this conversation is getting to here. But bottom line is Jones has looked terrific in his second stint. Goes deep yesterday. Did he have three hits yesterday as well? What was his situation? I know he had a couple. He was, I think, 2 for 2. I remember he had the single. Let me check. He was 2 for 4 yesterday. Yeah, the two-run homer. His average now, just the overall season for him, is up to 278. I thought I was seeing if there was any news. I saw Anthony Volpe in the headline. I thought he was sent down today. But, at the very least, we're there. Like, I think Stanton, when he returns next week, Volpe has to go down because you're not sending down Schumann. But at the very least, I guess what we're proposing here is that this upcoming week of roster decisions is going to be fascinating. And I'm excited by it. I might be mad about the outcome, but at the very least, I think we'll be able to be celebrating what the Yankees do yet again, which is sending Anthony Volpe down for Stanton. The big question here is Jason or Jones. Playing time-wise, roster-wise, how do they navigate this? You could say it's a good problem to have, but long-term, there's more reason to like wonder about Jason Dominguez's future than Spencer Jones if Jones were to go back down. But I don't think they're going to send Jones down, so don't worry about that. I don't know. It's quite interesting. With that said, I do got to get out of here soon because I got baseball today, nice and early today. Thank goodness, because that way we're allowed to go live for the series finale against Cleveland. We'll be live probably not so much for a pregame today. We'll probably be live closer to like first pitch, probably around 1 o'clock. Anyways, quick little preview for tonight, or this afternoon rather. Carlos Rodon on the bump for the Yanks. ERA now is sub-3. He was the only starter to give us a good outing against Cleveland last week at the stadium. He pitched Sunday and pitched really well. He's 1-2, 2.8 ERA, and then left-hander Parker Messick, 6-2, 2.40 ERA. Again, like the only pitcher for Cleveland we haven't faced this year. He'll be going for a... It was funny this morning, you know, the Clo Dog was here, and like she wakes up a little earlier than I do, and she was saying like she likes to place her bets and all that. And I was like half asleep, and she was like, I just heard her go, she was like previewing the game or whatever. I was looking at the MLB bat, and she's like, who's this guy? She's like, who's this guy? And I was like half asleep, and I was like, Parker Messick, left-hander. We haven't faced him yet. He's got a 2-4. And she's like, how did you know who I was talking about? I was like, because I was wondering the same thing when I first saw Parker Messick. And I've heard the name. I knew he was a pitcher pretty well. But it's like, Cleveland has some pretty damn good pitchers they've displayed against us. And we know they have good pitching. I'm very curious to see how Parker Messick looks. And it's going to be interesting to see what the lineup is going to be, which should be out, you know, by the 10 o'clock hour. You know, all things being equal, which right now they're not because Jones is looking great. Typically, today would be a day where Jones doesn't start against a lefty. We'll see if they do start him, and they probably should. I hope they do. But anyways, nonetheless, 1:10 first pitch on Yes. We'll be live for the watch party here on YouTube at 1 o'clock. Rodon versus Messick. That's going to do it for this episode. How long we go here? About 30-something minutes. Kind of on the quicker front, but got to do baseball today. So appreciate you guys so much for tuning in. I'll see you guys in a few hours. So enjoy your afternoon or your work day, whatever it may be. Whether I see you this afternoon or not, we'll probably have a smaller crowd because, you know, weekday day games are tough. But love you all to death. Click like on the stream if you haven't already. Available, podcast, all that. Live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, The Morning Yankee Show. This has been another episode of The Morning Yankee Show, and I'll see you guys later this afternoon for the series finale, going for the sweep. Yankees Guardians in Cleveland. Till then, let's go Yanks.